And welcome back to the programme. Last Sunday, a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket carrying NASA's next huge space telescope blasted off from Cape Canaveral in Florida. The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, named after NASA's first chief astronomer, is headed on a three-month journey to a final orbit point roughly 1 million miles from Earth. I'm joined on the line now by one of our regular contributors, David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. Good evening to you, David.
Good evening.
This is a very important development. The telescope separates safely from the rocket 30 minutes into the flight, according to NASA. So what it's going to be doing over the next 3 months?
Well, the next 3 months we'll see the checkout. First of all, it's got to get to that point 1 million miles from Earth and then set itself up for science observation. So you have to check out all the electronic systems. You have to make sure you can link down the data back down to Earth. And then you're ready, after about 100 days, it's estimated, to hand it over to the scientists who can then use it, like they've been using the Hubble Space Telescope since 1990 and the James Webb Space Telescope since only 2021. Both of those have double feature pages in Astronomy Ireland magazine every month showing the best photograph they've taken in the previous 4 weeks. And now we're going to have to allocate two more pages because this Roman space telescope, the specification on it is incredible.
The telescope will peer into the galactic bulge region at the center of the Milky Way. That's according to NASA. And why is this significant? Is it because the region is densely packed with stars and planets that surround this supermassive black hole? I mean, why is this important?
Well, we're trying to figure out how the universe came to be like it is. And there's a 5 million sun mass. So the mass of 5 million of our star, the sun, at the middle of our galaxy. And that's small. Some of them are millions of times, billions of times the mass of the sun. Thousands, even a million times bigger. How did that happen? Why is there a black hole at the center of our galaxy? And we're pretty sure, actually an Irishman had figured it out, called Dr. Merolian, that these black holes, supermassive black holes, control how the whole galaxy evolves. And if that black hole wasn't there, there wouldn't have been enough, things wouldn't have been stable enough, and there wouldn't have been enough time for life, intelligent life, to evolve on the Earth. So we actually owe our very existence to the black hole at the center of our galaxy, and we're trying to figure out why they're like that. James Webb Telescope is helping a lot recently. The Roman Space Telescope will help also. It's got lots of other things to do as well. There's dark matter, which we don't know what it is, and dark energy. I think it's safe to say we haven't got a clue what that is. Make up most of the universe. And then this telescope has got a special thing called a coronagraph that can blot out the light of stars and help you see the planets going around other stars. And I could tell you more about the specification of the telescope. We ran a big article about it in the latest issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine if people want to get more. But it's just fascinating.
It certainly is. The telescope will capture the entire survey area. This includes hundreds of millions of stars, but it'll do that every 12 minutes.
Yeah, the thing about this telescope is its field of view. It's actually the same mirror that's in the Hubble Space Telescope. And back, people might know this story, in the 1980s, when NASA was contracting out to build a super-accurate mirror to put into space to become Hubble. They were told that you can have a 2.5-meter, 2.5-meter telescope, and it'll cost you so much, but for one-tenth of the price, you could have a 2.4-meter telescope, almost exactly the same size. And the reason was, they're all spy telescopes. And these, the military had been, with a much bigger budget than NASA, had been building giant mirrors in space to look down. And now NASA wants to look. They actually got one of the military mirrors at a reasonable cost, still spent over $2 billion building Hubble. And we all know how successful that's been since 1990. Gosh, it's 36 years ago now. And the spy satellite saga continues because around 2012 or so, NASA was building this much wider field of view telescope, the Nancy Roman Space Telescope, and they were gifted two of these Hubble mirrors by the Department of Defense, or Department of War, I suppose we have to call it now, And there were the one of the rules was you can look out into space with it, but you're not allowed to look down on the ground with it, which NASA wouldn't have been interested in, but they made sure that was one of the rules because nobody wants to know just how much detail the American military can see on the ground. So they've both, the Hubble and the Roman telescope, have got spy satellite history. And in a way, that's sort of good in that hopefully that's helping to keep the world safe, but now we can discover what's going on in the cosmos.
NASA has also said that the telescope will conduct surveys focused on exoplanets. What exactly are exoplanets?
Yeah, we now know of over 6,000 confirmed planets around other stars, exoplanets. So we've got the 8 planets in our solar system, a lot of other junk mixed in too, but the same thing seems to be going around all the stars. We think probably all of them have got planets. Several planets, indeed. That would mean there's more planets in the universe than there are stars. Some of them have to be the right size and distance from the star to be like the Earth and to allow the chemistry of Earth, the complex organic chemistry which you and I basically are, to exist elsewhere. But it's very hard to find Earth-like planets and then to investigate their properties to find out what they're like. So that's what one thing that the Roman Space Telescope has been optimized for. The other thing it's got is a 300 megapixel camera. Now, people will know from their phones, that's pretty big, but this one is super accurate. It's razor sharp from edge to edge. And the Hubble Space Telescope was never meant for surveys. So people may remember the Hubble Deep Field when it peered out into space nonstop and collected light for 100,000 seconds, about a week, nonstop. We can't make exposures that long down on the ground. And it saw as far back into space, deep into space as it can. And the further back you look into space, actually it turns out to be a time machine. You're looking back at things at very ancient times. And James Webb Space Telescope, which is not a spy satellite mirror, I'm glad to say, it was optimized to look at these things rushing away from us at the edge of the universe. But the Roman telescope has a huge field of view.
Oh, dear. That is rather a pity. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a commercial break and we'll come back to David straight after this.
1-2.
And David Moore is back with us. David, don't know what happened there, but you were certainly on a roll.
Yeah, I was talking about how wide the field of view of the Roman Space Telescope is compared to Hubble. It's about 10 times wider, 10 times taller. So it sees 100 times more sky at the same time. And people, as I said, may have remembered the Hubble Deep Field, where it peered out deep into space. Well, the area of space it covered was roughly the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length. So Hubble's not good for surveying the entire sky. It would take too long. But the Roman Space Telescope was designed to do this deliberately. So electronics have come a long way. Cameras sensitivity has come a long way. And even the technology of optics have helped as well to make this huge survey telescope. So it's like the Hubble Space Telescope on speed.
But these sensitive measurements, better than the predecessors, but it'll do so from a special point in space, and this is known as the second Sun-Earth Lagrange point. This is according to NASA again. Now, what exactly is that? What is that point?
Yeah, well, the Hubble Space Telescope is not far above the ground, a few hundred kilometres up. So actually, the Earth blocks half of its field of view, and it can't even risk looking too close to the Earth because it's so bright. So as the Hubble goes around the Earth, I believe it's only 30% of its time can it actually look at its targets. So there's a lot of time wasted. Now, if you go a million miles out into space, the Earth's just a dot behind you. And if you look away from the Earth, you've got more than half the sky you can see without the pesky Earth getting in the way. The only problem is you could reach the Hubble with manned spacecraft and service it. There's not much chance of servicing a telescope a million miles away. No human's ever been that far. Certainly not in the short term anyway. So it's a bit of a risk. The systems have to look after themselves. The telescope should last 5 years, but it's expected to last an extra 5 years, and we'll see where we go after that. Whether it'll equal Hubble's 4 decades, that remains to be seen. But there are other telescopes being thought up and dreamt of for the future that will dwarf the Roman Space Telescope anyway.
And just a final thought on this, David. At the end of this 3-month journey, what would you, as an expert in this area, or the NASA people, expect to learn from this telescope, which is blasted off last Sunday?
Well, the main thing is we can see planets directly. That's the first thing. We don't actually know what we're going to see. So that's going to be exciting one way or the other. We can detect a few little tricks, but this way we're going to see them directly. There are one or two planets we can see from the Earth, but this is a game changer. Who knows what we're going to find? Are they all Earth-like? Are they all Jupiter-like? What does it all mean? Then dark energy and dark matter. By surveying galaxies further out than we've ever seen before, we can tell more about what was happening in the early universe. With dark energy is really the matter that's equivalent to the energy that is ripping the universe apart. We now know the universe not just expanding, it's speeding up its expansion, which we didn't expect. And dark matter, we don't know what it is. Is it dead stars? Is it some kind of subatomic particle? And it'll help give the evidence for that for the theorists to work out. So maybe in the 10 years it's going to run for, at the end of it you'll ask me again, what did we learn? The answer, well, now we know dark matter is X, and dark energy we've got a few good handles on. That's what I expect to happen anyway. And the engineering phase, the next 100 days, you can expect they're going to take some pretty pictures, because it's all paid for by taxpayers' money, and the sooner they get nice pictures out showing the power of this telescope, the better. But really, when it's handed over to the scientists, it's their Christmas present. They'll have it by Christmas, and goodness knows what they're going to find.
David, before we finish, last weekend we had Electric Picnic in Stradbally in County Leash, but you're having your own Electric Picnic of the Stars, I think, or Astronomy this weekend.
That's right, Starbecue, the annual barbecue under the stars, our big fundraiser where we invite all 8 million people on the island to come and look through some of the biggest telescopes in Ireland at the showpieces of the universe, star clusters, galaxies. The planet Saturn will be a big attraction this weekend. So you don't need a telescope or anything. We'll feed you with a professional barbecue. We're 1,000 feet above sea level. We're expecting 1,000 people with telescopes 1,000 times better than your eyes. This is one thing you've got to witness at least once in your life. So if you go to our website, astronomy.ie, you'll see details there coming on Saturday. You've got to book your tickets before Thursday night. Bring the whole family. If we don't blow your minds with the views, I'll give you your money back personally. That's how incredible an event it is. It's pretty unique to Ireland. So we want everybody to try and get along. Starbecue, barbecue on the stars, astronomy.ie. You'll see the magazine there as well if you want to see all the details and read that article about the Roman Space Telescope and the history of the spy satellite and everything else. And loads more besides, because it's all aimed at beginners. It's all great fun.
Very good, David. We shall leave it there. As always, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we will indeed be talking with you in due course again. And what's extraordinary about that man is the sheer enthusiasm for his subject, which never dims, I think it's fair to say. And apologies to David and indeed to you for the break in transmission, as they say, early in that interview. Very good, then. It's 24 minutes.